Could you maybe seat it just for a few minutes? I'd like to say a few things before we start. Say it sure is good to be here. And I appreciate the prayers of everybody in here that's prayed for us for the last over a year. We've had severe problems with our head, inner ear problem, but God's touching. I give him the honor and glory. It's not well, but I'm far better shape than I was last fall when I was here. And I give him the glory for it. Amen. And I appreciate that. And I'll say I appreciate Brother Milby. Amen. Inviting us to come this way or letting us come this way. Appreciate Brother Sanders and the church for opening up and letting us have this meeting. And I want to say I appreciate every message that's been preached thus far. It has really encouraged my heart. I appreciate the Word of God. I guess I'm from the old school. I'm the type of, guess what you call a clothesline preacher. It needs to be hung out to where I can see it, where I can understand it. I don't want to leave the house of God scratching my head and wondering what the preacher said. Amen. I'd rather go to the house mad as go to the house wondering what he was talking about. Amen. So I appreciate that. But I want to say this. About two or three weeks ago, maybe a month ago, me and an old preacher that helped ordain me was in a funeral together. And these older men are losing out. I mean, their health is going down on them. And I had to help him. He's getting so one was going across there. I got him by the arm, help him to get out in the cemetery, so on and so forth. And he told about another dear preacher that some of us here know that he was in a nursing home in Lafayette, Georgia. And I just had to go see him. 89-year-old. His wife had died. He wasn't able to take care of himself and feed himself and so on and so forth. But I walked in, me and my wife did, and before he ever even said anything, he cut loose, started preaching. He preached for about 30 minutes, then he asked, "Do I know you?" Amen. But he made a statement that I really lack, and I want to leave it with you. He made it. He said, "If you've got any praying that needs to be done, you better get her done." And he said, I went on to talk, and he said, "Now, I've been here 3 or 4 weeks," and said, "I don't know why God put me here." But he went on and told, he said, "There's been 2 ladies got saved in this nursing home since I've been here." Now, he's not one of them type that'll read them in. I want you to know that they pray through and get through, or else they're still out. He said there was 3 ladies walked in the room, and one of them said, "Preacher, I'm lost. I need to be saved." He said, "You're in the right place." And we just knelt down in that nursing home room, and she got prayed. Said, "A day or 2 later, there was 3 more walked in and said, 'Preacher, I'm lost. I need to be saved.'" He said, "You're in the right place." He said, "She knelt down, and she got saved." He said, "I don't know why God put me here." I said, "I do, for that very purpose." Amen. He said, "I've been trying to get them to clean out a room back here to where we can have church that I can just preach to them." 89-year-old, ain't God is still full of preaching. Us young folks couldn't preach our way out of a wet paper sack. Amen. That's what I'm getting at. But we need some power of God in our hearts today in the time we're living in. I appreciate that from the depths of our hearts. If you got your Bibles and want to stand for a few verses, I'm going to be reading out of Revelation chapter number 3. I read 3 or 4 verses, and I've had something else on my mind, but Brother Jones preached last night. Seemed like God changed it, and so I guess I'll just do what the Lord says do. Amen. I appreciate him and appreciate his goodness. Book of Revelation, chapter number 3, begin reading with verse number 1, and you listen close to the Word of God. There's a couple of things in here I'd like to look at. Maybe I won't take over 2 hours to get through it, but amen. But I want to look at it. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 1, and unto the angel of the church in Sardis write these things, saith he that hath the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars, I know thy works, that thou hast a name that thou livest and are dead. Now you let that sink in. He said in the next verse, he said, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know in what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which shall not defile their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Brother Dale Owens, would you lead us to the Lord in prayer? Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, it's again, God, that we bow our head before you this morning, Lord, thanking you, God, for the opportunity to stand this morning, Lord, before thy people, so great a people, God, and Lord, in our little weak way, try, God, to preach the word of God that you laid upon our heart. And I pray this morning, Lord, God, that our ears and eyes will be open, dear Lord, to the things of God. I pray that you have your way now, Lord, to our hearts. Lord, we'll praise and glorify your name for what you do. Lord, for it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Amen. You may be seated. I'd like for us to look at the last part of verse number 1. And he said, I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest. But, what's a big old word, ain't it? And, or it said, and, art dead. Now, you'll have to agree with me that the Bible said this church was dead. No contradiction, no argument about it. God's great Holy Ghost had John to pin down and told this church that it was dead. But we look in the first part of chapter number 2, and he said, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. So it sounded like the church was dead, but there was a few folks left in it that had a little life in them. And I want to say we're living in a dead church age. But there is still a few, thank God, that has got a little life in them. And I'd like, with God's help this day, to try to help you and strengthen you, amen, that you'll not die yourself. Amen. I'd like to preach just for a little while on the death of this church. There was a call for this church to die. Amen. I'm going to take my time, Lord, help me. Nature teaches us that every time that somebody dies, they have to investigate the death of that person. They have to call in the coroner, and he has to do the examining and find out what the problem is before they can announce what caused it to die.
Amen.
There's about 4 or 5 things that I'd like to look at this morning, God, to help us. Amen. And try, and the process of elimination, they finally come down to what the cause of the church was that it died. Or the person, what caused it to die. First thing we'd like to look at is natural causes. You know, we don't have very much. much in this world are people dying of natural causes anymore. I don't care if you go home and go to bed and go to sleep and you die in your sleep, they'll have to run an autopsy on you. I don't care what it is. Medical science has got to have a reason for you dying when it wasn't a thing in the world but natural causes. Now we know and realize that, thank God's great name, that the church is something that was bought by the blood of the darling Lamb of God. And we know that it is His prized possession. And God, we know that He is the protector of the church. We know that He is the provider of the church. Therefore, the church cannot die of natural causes. I like that, don't you? So don't worry about dying of natural causes. Thank God, I'm glad I'm in His hand. Amen. Everything that happens to me, He's responsible for it. Thank God, He's to protect me. He's to take care of me. Thank God, He's to direct me. He's to lead me. I'm supposed to be dead to this world. Paul said, I am crucified to this world, and the world is crucified unto me. He said, the life that I now live, I live after the faith of the Son of God, which died and gave Himself for me. Hallelujah. Amen. So I don't have to worry about dying of natural causes. I'm protected on that side. Amen. Bless your heart. And the next one is accidental death. Like car wreck or something else, maybe on your construction job, something fall on you, or airplane wreck or whatever. But I will say, the way that God puts you in, amen, you'll not have to worry about an accidental death. Isaiah chapter number 35, verse number 8, the Bible said, and a highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. Amen. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for these, the wayfaring men, those fools shall not err therein. I'm glad, thank God, I'm not walking the course of this world. I'm not walking as a modern religion walk. I'm glad that when I got born again, I didn't get read in, I didn't get coaxed in, thank God, but I got clean through the blood of the darling Son of God. He took me out of darkness. He put me over into light. He took me out, thank God, of that roughneck life. I put me over in the highway of holiness. Amen. Thank God, I'm glad. How the Bible said, how the footsteps of a good man is ordered or directed of the Lord. As long as you walk on the highway of holiness, you'll never have to worry about an accidental death. I'm liking this. The more I study on this, the more I like it. Amen. Where I'm at and what I've got. I thought the morning when I was lost, all I wanted was to get out and under that condemnation. I know what I was praying from, but I didn't know what I was praying into. Amen. The further I go, the more I see what I got, and the happier I get. Amen. Thank God, just for a little while longer. So therefore, I'm going to stay on that high.
my way of holiness. And God, I'll not have to worry about an accidental death. I'm glad, thank God, I got a keeper. The Bible says how the angels of the Lord are encamped about them that fear God. Hallelujah. I'm glad when I get discouraged, I get woe, I get just like Jesus, how the angels come and strengthen me. I feel like having a running fear. I don't know and realize I'm in a highway of holiness. Preacher, you're in a Baptist church. I just read out of God's blessed book said it was a highway of holiness.
Amen.
You know what I'm going to preach? It's a highway of holiness. Hey, God's great name. I'm a walking in it. I've got protection. He's my head. Amen. Everything that I need, He's it. Amen. It ain't the church. It ain't the preacher. But it's Christ Himself. How the darling Lamb of God. Amen. Put me on the highway of holiness. And the Bible said, I pray you take up your cross and follow Him. Amen. He made the road and I'm a following Him. Therefore, He's in between me and an accident. Bless His name. You'll not have to worry about dying of an accident. So therefore, you'll not die of natural causes. You're not going to die of an accident. Next thing is a mishap. Such as a snake bite, or a dog, or an animal, or any other ravenous beast. Let's go back to Isaiah again, chapter 35. I'll give you some Bible on this. Our Bible said in verse 18 about the highway of holiness. But then he goes on and says some things that's not on that highway of holiness. No worm shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up there upon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall be there, and the ransom of the Lord shall return, and come to Zion with songs, and everlasting joy. Upon their heads they shall obtain joy, and gladness and sorrow, and sighing shall flee away. Amen. I'm glad there's no ravenous beast, and no lion. Thank God on this highway, highway of holiness. So therefore, I'm not going to die of a mishap. Amen. I'm going to stay on each side of this highway of holiness. There's all kinds of beasts. Amen. There's readers. There's card passers. Amen. There's people passing out tracts. Amen. Doing everything in the world. But glad, thank God, I come through the door. Amen. Jesus Christ Himself. I'll be in the door. Amen. All them lions and ravenous beasts. The Bible said your adversary. Thank God the devil goeth about as a roaring lion. He's on this side. And he's on this side. But he's not in the road. I'm glad I can just let him howl and let him growl and just stay with Jesus. Thank God, touch your cross and follow Him, and you'll not die of a mishap. I wrestled this last night about 2 hours in the bed. Amen. Just studying and meditating. How good it is for God's people We sitting here like we've been eating prunes and chasing it down with crab apple juice, not really realizing who we are and what we got and where we're headed. If you're down yonder somewhere where they had the pig skin, amen, kicking that thing around, you'd shout your shoe heels off, get out the house of God, and you got the best thing this world has to offer, and you dry up and won't wave towards glory, I won't shout, I won't exalt the name of Christ. Thank God, I believe we're just about dead. Hey, something happened to me one time. And I ain't got over it. Hey, wasn't nobody come to my house with a book, started reading to me. They wasn't nobody come down and say, repeat this prayer after me. If you don't like it, you just got problems. I'm going to preach. Because I know how I got in, and if anybody else get in, they'll get in the same way I got in. If you don't, you'll miss it. Hey, wouldn't nobody come down there? Hey, man, trying to coax me. I've raised a young man in the house of God. Me and my brothers and sisters go, daddy and mama wouldn't go. But the old men of God did slip. I preach, spit, slobber. Amen. No air conditioner, slaughter bugs. And preach the word of God. Thank God, as a little man, that word of God was implanted in my heart. Got about 13 year old. I got rebellious like a heathen, just like your children is going to do when they get that. Amen. Thank God I run till I was 32 year old. But I'm glad, thank God, at 32 year old, how the Holy Ghost come by without any tracks. He come by without any reason. He come by without any amen, trying to coax me some way how to make a profession. I said I lived in an old house. One night he'd once come through that door and never did open it. Walked across that floor and never left the footprint. Raised up that cover and never did make a wrinkle. Got down in my heart and never left the scar. And boy, loaded me down with old time Holy Ghost conviction. Amen. The kind that'll make it. Thank God, can't eat. I can't sleep. I can't stand nothing. Amen. I'm talking about a God coming where you are. I can preach that because I've been there. I'm not preaching heresy. I've been there. I like that, don't you? It'll make a change in you. My wife had been going to, how come I'm going to get back on church in a minute, but my wife had been going to church. She'd have been begging me to go to church with her and my daughter. I'd always say, I'm going one of these days. I should get up on Sunday morning and go, come back, I'd be just as drunk as a dog. Oh, but that Wednesday night, Dale, when the Holy Ghost come where I was, hey man, I got up Sunday morning sitting down at the table. I looked over at my wife. I said, I'm going to the house of God with you. Whoopee! Her eyes got about big as a saucer. And you know, I wasn't going down there for somebody to read to me. I've done made God a promise. Lord, if you let me make it to the house of God, I will repent. You know that was still in there when I got in. The word repentance was. Amen. I made my way to the house of God. I weighed about 350 pounds. When they made the altar call, I went plumb in under the mourner's bank. I was seeking God. Didn't nobody try to pull me out and read to me. They said, pray, pray, boy. God will hear you. Pray. I I'm preaching about a God. Amen. Our churches is dead and don't know nothing about that kind of God anymore. Billy, I don't mean to get on your time, but I'm going to preach. Amen. This church is dead. You realize we're living in an age, just about everybody in here, if you'll admit it, and quit getting off, as Michael said last night, get out of your boastful pride. You tell me the truth, your church is dead. We can put on one of the awfulest fronts when we get around somebody. Some of them said a while ago, won't know where I pastored. I told them where I pastored. I said, they're just graveyard dead.
Yeah.
And about half or two-thirds of them sitting back there, and I ain't going to call them. They're dead.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing but a bunch of heathens, but I love them.
Amen.
Don't you call them that. Let me take care of that. I love them to death. I preach to them. Amen. But tell you, a mishap. There's no unclean thing on this highway. You're not going to have to die of a mishap. Amen. Now you know, the world has left off God altogether. But you ever notice when a disaster happens, like down in New Orleans or tornado come through or something there, they always holler, insurance company hollers, the act of God. But when it's all over with, don't tell us about God. We just done that to save our idolatrous money. But one of the things is, the church is not going to die of an act of God. God did not come down here and purchase a church with His own blood. Amen. Died and rise again the third day. Send back to heaven. Amen. To make intercession for us. Then bump the church off.
Yes.
So it ain't going to die of an act of God.
Amen.
I'm going to get what killed us in a minute. I'm just eliminating some things. We ain't going to die of an act of God. How many churches you ever seen that God just bumped them off? Why, God, the holiness of God and the love of God, after He purchased somebody, He'd do anything He were good for them.
Amen.
Instead of bumping them off.
Amen.
If I was in His place, I guess I'd bump a lot of them off. But you don't have to worry about dying from an act of God.
Amen.
Next one is homicide. Just plain, cold-blooded murder. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So you'll not have to worry about being bumped off by homicide. How the devil can't kill you. Amen. Ain't God. You say, but you got Bible on that. You read the book of Job. Amen. He said, you can destroy his goods. I went on and said, you can get his flesh. But his soul, you cannot bother it. So you'll not have to worry about dying of a homicide. Amen. The devil can't kill you. If man killed you, he can't send you to hell, no hell. Amen. They took John the Baptist's head off, but just made a shortcut. Amen. Into heaven.
Amen, brother.
While I'm right there, let me say what I went to the doctor here a while back. He gave me some shots in the ear for that inner ear trouble. And I said, Doc, if this don't work, what's next? He said, take the head off. And I come by at night, just about that close, telling him, you don't have to worry about it. Just preach like John the Baptist and somebody else will do it for you. And they won't even give you no anesthesia. So you won't have to worry about dying of a homicide. Now we've eliminated some things. Now let's see what kills. I've come down to one conclusion. Every church it dies of the same cause. Suicide. Killing their own self. One of them is they're starving to death after the preaching of the Word of God. Now I know I'm sitting in the cream of the crop right here and I'm not getting on to you. No way would I do it. I love every one of you preachers. But it is very possible if you ain't careful down the road somewhere, you'll come from my eyes. You say, preacher, I won't do it. I've seen greater men than you do it. Back to preachers, when I got in 30 years ago, then some of them would shell the corn, take the cob and rub it on your head and grin at you while you squall. Guess what they've done today? They've compromised. Amen. Things they used to preach again. They taught me and told me when they ordained me to preach that book. Now they'll not allow me in their churches to preach. Amen. God bless your heart. I'll say our churches today is starving to death for the preaching of the Word of God. You got jokes? Puppets? I ain't through yet. Won't leave the world alone. Commit suicide by holding on to the world. Want God on this side and the world on this side. You ever notice back, and I ain't got one, don't want one, don't intend to get one, hate the stupid thing. Hey man, anyway, if you got one, you ought to get an altar and repent. Hey man, you remember back years ago watching television, these people on flying trapeze that get them so far apart. Hey man, if you're swinging from one to the other and they had them far enough apart, you had to turn this one loose before you could get a hold of that one. And that's the way God is. You ain't going to hold on to God, the world, and reach out here and get a hold of God and have a hold of both of them. If you get a hold of God, you're going to have to turn the world loose and get a hold of God.
Amen.
Like it or lump it, that's the way it is.
Amen.
We're living in an age that can't leave the world alone. You're saying amen right now, but when you leave out here, what are you going to do?
Amen.
Me and Brother Powers, a few months back, had a preacher's meeting. Both of us had to preach, and a couple more preachers preaching. I got there a little early. I don't care, Teddy. Oh, man, that night Auburn and Alabama was playing. I walked into church, and all the church folk were there, and all I could hear was Alabama and Auburn. Alabama and Auburn. Alabama and Auburn. Boy, the more they talked, I got by like a percolator before I got up. And lo and behold, I was the first one they called while I was a perking. And it didn't take me but about 15 minutes to get that out of the way, out of where I could preach. Amen. God bless your heart. You know I've said it a lot of time, I won't say it again. I ain't never found but one thing a pig skin's good for. Or two things. One of them is to hold the pig together. And the other degree's a frying pan. Ain't God, you know what you got? If you're running after sport, you become an idolater. Amen. Thank God. I'm telling you, how the church is a kidding itself with sports.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
I wanted to preach easy this week. I had it in my mind, told my wife, get up, I'm going to preach easy. I'm going to preach the law. Brother Jones preached last night, and boy, my blood began to boil. What's happened to our churches? Thank you, Brother Jones. I love you. Every time you get a chance, take my hide off. As I hear Brother Billy Mitchell say several times, you may preach it straighter than I live, but you'll never preach it straighter than I like. Amen. Now the problem is I need to move up to it. Amen. Another one is we've let down the standard in the house of God. Committing suicide. Do you mind if I get this while I'm right here? I like this camp meeting.
Yes, sir.
I'd rather be in this one as any that I've ever been in. And I'm going to tell you why, and I appreciate Brother Milby, Kirk, the clean language that comes over the pulpit.
Amen.
If there ever was something that I can't stand, is a man that get in the pulpit and use bedroom language and call it a preacher. God help a man like that. Needs to repent and get right with God. You can say what you got to say without getting vulgar. Say amen right there if you got enough good about you. I got my pistol out there in the band. Play for them. Y'all get them off. God help a man that can't preach the Word of God without getting vulgar language. You know what ought to happen like that? If you got any deacons that's got any backbone about them, they'll get them by the arm, lead them out to the door, and give them a good boot and tell them to hit the road. Now I like it, Brother Mitchell, because you do that. You start letting that filthy talk go on here, you won't have me around no more. I'm going to say that while I'm here. Age men use language behind the pulpit that me and my wife won't even use in the house, just me and her there. There's never nothing comes out of either one of us's mouth in the house unless it has to do with a health problem. Amen. And if you ain't got that kind of God about you, the altar's open. Why anybody knows what fornication and adultery is, you don't have to ask, well, the dictionary says it's it. Do you think we're a bunch of ignoramuses? We all know. We let down the... Now, while I'm there... We preach on women wearing short dresses. Preach on them wearing pants. Preach on them wearing low-neck blouses. But I got one more that I hadn't heard preached on that I'd like to hit while I'm here. I'm going to say a woman that'll wear a split-tail dress, her dress is just as short as that split is. You know what would happen? My wife the other day, she got up and put a dress on. I got to go to church. I said, you get that off. And I told her what was wrong. She said, I hadn't noticed that. I said, I did. And if you're man enough to preach, you ought to be man enough to inspect your wife and see she's got her nakedness covered. Amen. There never was nothing stirring me as much as a woman walking out through the, amen, her legs are shining as she takes a step. Amen. God bless your heart. Amen. And say, you know God, how the Holy Ghost of God will teach you, amen, to cool your nakedness. I better get off of that. But I thought I'd just get it in there while I'm here. We've let down the standard. You know what would have happened, Brother Jones talking about 45 years ago. You know what would have happened 45, 50 years ago if a woman come in one of them split-tail dresses in, they'd have led her out, her and her husband both. They wouldn't have just stopped with her, they'd have got him both. Thought it said, you ain't the man of the house, or you wouldn't let her come to. Amen, preacher, I'm talking to you if you let your wife dress that way. Say, well, ain't that just a fashion? Didn't you know they sold sewing machines and needles and thread? If you stay out of Walmart long enough, you can learn how to sew. Preacher, do you preach that way to your people that's sitting back there and you get a chance to answer them? One more. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles, chapter number 12. Now, this particular preacher that's in Lafayette in the nursing home, and Brother Pace will tell you the same thing. He knows him. Brother Danny Butlerbacker knows him. That man's educated in the Bible. And he's sitting there telling me that when Solomon built that temple, said he searched it out one time, and he put 100 tons of gold overlaying that temple. And I don't know, like, just what he said. But you look here. I start reading with verse number 9 in 2 Chronicles chapter 12. So Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasure of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the king's house. He took all. He carried away also the shields of gold which Solomon had made. Now let's compare Shishak as the devil. Now he has come in the house, and every prized possession that the people of God has had to lay on to, had to hold on to strengthen them, he's about took every one of them out. Preaching, praying, testifying, singing in the Holy Ghost, plain old worship. He's took every bit of that out. We've got dignified today. But he didn't stop when he took the gold out. Bible said in verse number, instead. Instead, in other words, instead of which King Rehoboam made shields of brass and committed them to the hands of the chief of the guard that kept the entrance of the king's house. Took out praying and put in purpose. Took out pallets that they used to lay the young'uns on and let them lay them on the bait. Old granny women shout all over them. Bobby pins will fly everywhere. Shouting over them and made a children's church out back door.
Amen. Amen.
I'm in the right role. I know exactly where I'm playing. I didn't roll a bed for about 2 hours for nothing with this.
Amen.
We took it out.
Amen.
And replaced it.
Yes,
we've replaced old time Holy Ghost preaching with speaking.
Amen.
You know what that Bible says, and you turn your radio on and you listen. They shall heed to themselves teachers having each in ears. And you turn your radio on today, you hardly ever hear a preacher, I've got a teaching ministry. But a bishop must be out for teaching. I'm teaching you something. We've left all old time Holy Ghost a preaching of the Word of God. For some ain't got bob haired a pant wearing woman to get up and teach our people. You're getting quiet on me somewhere. Replaced it. I never seen people today can't make their kids mind. Reason why they got to have a nursery over here is because mom and daddy can't make them mind. Now let me get right here. When me and my brother and sister used to go to church, church is our pastor right now. We lived right down in front of it. Mom and daddy didn't go to church. But daddy could handle me better at the house than a lot of you can what you're sitting right beside your kid. Daddy would tell me and my brother, he said, if I hear that you got out of line, you got up and run out of that church to the bathroom about 3 times during the service,
amen,
he said, Tide won't hold ships. And I know that some of them old people back them days, they wouldn't have let their shirt tail hit their back till they told Daddy. If I'd have done that, and Daddy would have done just exactly what he said he'd do.
Amen.
Now you can't make your kids mind right beside you. God help you.
Amen.
Let me have them a while. I believe I can get them saying yes sir, no sir.
Amen.
You know they little things growed out there they could call hickory limbs. Peach tree limbs. Ain't nothing wrong with a belt yet.
Amen.
Ain't nothing wrong with that hand. Get them with the arm. Carry them around. If they don't mind, take them the second trip.
Amen.
You ever had to go the second trip a few times, but not very many. Our church is a committing suicide. We are raising a bunch of kids that don't know nothing about discipline, don't know nothing about worship, don't know nothing about the Holy Ghost, don't know nothing about the power of God anymore.
Amen.
Reckon all the hush.